You will turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters, are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen, cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Would you pray with me? Oh, loving God, we are in this place turning to your word because we want to know and love you more. And so would your Spirit move freely among us? And would you help us to hear what it is you want us to hear? So you might help us be who it is you want us to be. So you might help us do what it is you want us to do. So you might help us love who it is you want us to love. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Who doesn't love a good love story? Romeo and Juliet, Kate and Leo, Kate and William, Harry and Sally, Simba and Nala. What's your favorite love story? You've got one? Any? Huh? Yours? I like that. What? Twilight? Oh, please. Vampires. Come on. It's all right. You can have Twilight if you want. There's something for everyone. How about this love story? The one where we are the beloved, where God existed before time in a relationship of overflowing love. Love shared freely and fully between the Father and the Son and the Spirit. There was no need, and there was no lack. And yet there came this real time in history when God decided not to keep this love only within himself, but to share it. God chose to let his love that was perfectly good overflow to us. And God knew, he knew that there was great risk in this choice to create and to share. God knew that to fully love, he would have to leave room for choice. And God knew that with choice, heartache might come. God knew. And God created anyway. God poured out God's love on us anyway. And the heartache did come. And God came closer still. Each time his beloved would go their own way, God would chase after them. He would send signs and wonders and words and prophets to invite them to come back to his heart. And when there seemed to be nothing that would work, no way to convince these people to just simply love him back, God came closer still, sending his own son into our broken world to show us love with skin on. God loved us to the point of laying down his own life for us. This is the love story that inspires all the love stories, even the Twilight love stories. This is the one, a God who had all he ever wanted or needed and chose to share anyway. A God who has had every reason to turn away from us, but has only ever come closer to us. This story is why we're here this morning, because we are the beloved. We have been loved like that. And as we gather today and ask again how we are called to do life together as Christ's church, we hear the call loud and clear. Love one another as you have been loved. If you remember from a couple weeks ago, we're in 1 John. It's a letter written by the same guy who wrote the Gospel, John, in Revelation. And it's for the same seven churches that he wrote to in Revelation. And so shortly after the resurrection of Jesus, John is helping these folks know how to move forward as the people of Jesus in this world. Last time when we gathered around 1 John, we emphasized how we do church and said that it's always only ever got to be about lifting high the name of Jesus. That's essential. That's what makes this thing right here different from the Elks Club. The Elks Club is fine, but that's why we're not that. And that's what makes this thing right here different from just a group of friends who meet on a trail on Sunday mornings and go for a walk in the woods together. We gather for Jesus. And it's always only ever about Jesus. And this morning, the most powerful way that we do that, that we lift high the name of Jesus together, by loving one another well. Let's start by just being clear on who it is we are called to love. Because sometimes it's easy to throw around the general language of loving people. I love my country. I love my town. I just love kids. I just love people. And some of you say, I just really don't love people at all. But some of you say, I just love people. And that's great. You should love your home. And you should love kids. And you should love people. But there are 7 billion people in this world. And there are several thousand people right here in this community. And I bet most of them you've never even met. And so it's a nice sentiment to just really, really love people. But what matters the most is that you love real, actual people. People that you encounter on a daily basis. 1 John 4, this section is bookended by the same basic statement. Verse 7, let us love one another because love is from God. And then verse 21, those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. It has echoes of John 15. It should. It's the same author. And that's when Jesus is looking at the 12 disciples and he says to them, this is my commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this. What is it? That he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus is saying to the 12, you guys right here in this circle, love one another. That's the 11 people that you're looking at right now. Don't just love in theory, but love in practice. By starting right here with these faces right in front of you. Lay down your life for them. These real people that you're walking alongside Jesus with. You see, when this letter from John would have arrived at the churches, the people would have gathered together, much like we're gathered together right here. And they would have heard this letter together. Love one another as God has loved you. And looking around the room, they would have known, clear as mud, that the faces right before them were the one another. That's who he's talking about. Let's try to hear it like they heard it. We got a letter this morning. It's postmarked from John, the evangelist. Sent from Ephesus to Belfair Community Church. It's to us. We open it together as they would have done. And here's what it reads in perfect English. Beloved brothers and sisters of BCC, look around you and love one another. Just as God has loved you. If you say you love God, you must love your brothers and sisters. That's those people right there in front of you, beside you, behind you. Look at them. That's who you get to love. And as you love these real people, Belfair, Washington will know that you're Jesus people. And all will want to get in on what's good. Sincerely, John. He had a computer too. It's pretty cool. You see, it's a whole lot easier to just really love people than it is to love that person behind you who sings every song loud and slightly off key. And it's a whole lot easier to just love kids than it is to love that kid that's super fidgety and disrupts your worship service. And it is a whole lot easier to just love community than it is to love the messy, real people who make up this pocket of our community. But you see, love is never just some generalist thing. Love is only real when it's particular and lived out among individuals, the ones right here in front of us. If we're not willing to love them, odds are we're not loving anyone very well. How, church? By loving one another right here, right now. That's who. But how do we practically love one another? John gives some good words on this too. One way, sacrificially. Sacrificially. The world's love is reciprocal. If you give me this much, I'll give you this much. If you go a mile for me, I'll go a mile for you. The world loves in order to receive. I'll do this for you, but when I'm in need, I'm going to come to you expecting you to do it for me. Jesus' people love sacrificially, giving of themselves without keeping tabs or demanding anything in return. How can we do this? By remembering that's the way we have been loved. Verses 9 and 10, God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Not that we had done anything to impress God, to convince him to love us back, but just that God chose to love. Just because God wanted to, knowing that we could never earn that love or repay that love. And how did God love? By giving his son as a sacrifice to cover our sins and to usher us into his grace. Jesus, people, that's you and that's me. We love one another by making real sacrifices for the good of the other. Not keeping tabs, not demanding anything in return. What kinds of sacrifices do we make for one another in this real Christian community? It's simple. It's our gifts. We've all got them. Here's the truth. There are some things that God has given you that are only for the purpose of you freely sharing them with God's people. You've got them, and that's the only reason you've got them, to share with God's people. Some of you are gifted teachers. Some of you can encourage hurting hearts better than anyone I know. Some of you can make a pie that people fight over at dessert auctions. Some of you can organize. Some of you can see the big picture of things. Some of you can see individuals that no one else sees. Some of you can make music that brings us to the throne of God. Some of you are prayer warriors whose intercession brings healing and courage and strength. Some of you have outside-the-box ideas that stretch us. Some of you connect with teens, and others can sit with a homebound adult for hours and feel like no time has passed. Some of you notice the gifts in others, and you bring those to light. And some of you are holy risk takers, and you inspire us by your faith. If you are in this place this morning, this is guaranteed. You have a gift. At least one. More than likely, quite a few. And here's the truth about that gift. It has been given to you from God. And it is for the purpose of building up the people of God. What's your gift? And how are you building us up with it? That's what it's for. And if you are sharing your gift like God intends, you know good and well already that it takes sacrifice of time, of convenience, of comfort. You know that this darn gift that he gave you pushes you beyond yourself. And as you sacrificially share your gifts, what you're doing is you are loving us well. And that is the mark of Jesus' people. That is the mark of a Jesus-centered church. People generously, sacrificially sharing their gifts so others might grow in Jesus too. And you guys, I see it all around us. You guys know Emily? She's not going to like this. Emily Brim, a working mom who needs her 1 hour in church to get refueled as much as anybody. But did you know that she hasn't had communion in probably a year? And do you know why? Not because she just skipped that Sunday. Because she has committed to being in wiggle time the first Sunday of every month. And the hope has always been that we'd have plenty of adults eager to step up and pour into our children so that no one person misses communion Sunday for a year. But as we're waiting for others to step in and share their gifts, Emily keeps pouring out a sacrifice of love for us 1 month at a time. And Emily, we see Jesus in that. Diane Evans, who hides back there behind the computer, do you know how she's spending 1 week of her cherished summer break? By making 4 trips in 6 days. Back and forth to summer camp to drive children and youth down the beloved I-5 in a van. And on the day in the middle of all that, know what she's doing? Driving our seniors to Port Townsend for their very own outing. Clocking miles and hours behind the wheel. No one loves that. To help others get where they need to be to grow in Jesus. Given up her days of ease to move others. And we see Jesus in that. Debbie Builder back shows up in the same classroom for over 2 decades now with a lesson prepared, ready to pour out her gifts to any who might make the effort to come a little early and dig a little deeper into God's Word. Book by book, walking through Scripture for over 20 years, week after week, for us. We see Jesus in that. Linda Thompson packs out her car every Sunday to give 3 young people a ride to church. Already adds time to her drive both directions. And you know what? When a lady who used to come to BCC recently moved to where she's no longer in walking distance of the church, when she reached out and asked if there's anyone among us who might could help her get to worship, guess who the one person was who stood up and asked for her phone number? Linda Thompson. The one who already has 3 seats taken in her car, saying, "I bet I could find room for one more. I'll just leave a little earlier than I already do." We see Jesus in that. 10 adults giving up vacation days to invest in youth and children at camp. Grown-ups sleeping in bunk beds and sleeping bags, stepping out of comfort zones and eating camp food for 5 days. Walking alongside kids who may or may not say thank you. We see Jesus in that. What's your gift, friends? You've got one. Don't say you don't. What's your gift? And what can you offer in the name of the love of Jesus that we need from you? And are you sharing it sacrificially among us? God loved us so much that he gave his son to us. God shared his best gift from his heart to us. And we follow him as we do the same. This is where we move beyond consumers in the church to practitioners, people practicing the Jesus way together. How, church? Love one another. Sacrificially share your gifts just as we have been loved. How else do we love one another? We freely celebrate each other. The world sees love as a competition. Don't believe me? Join me Monday night and watch The Bachelor with me. Guilty confession, I do it. But it says that. That there's not enough of this love stuff to go around. So when others do well, we must get anxious. And when others fall, then we must celebrate because now we're higher up on the love scale. You know, the Jesus way is totally opposite of that. The Jesus way rests in the truth that we are fully loved, so we don't have to grasp and cling for what is already ours. That means that we are free to love others by celebrating them well and by helping them up when they fall. Verse 19, we love because God first loved us. We're not going to run out. We're not lacking in love. There is no shortage. So we need not be stingy with the love that we share. We know this in our heads, don't we? But our hearts tell us a different story. I was reading about a recent study where folks were given 2 choices. They could take $7 for themselves, and it meant that some stranger they didn't know would get $9. Or the other option was they could take $5 for themselves, and the $3 would go to someone else. Do you know which option the vast majority of people chose? The second one. To take $5 for themselves and let the other have 3. Even though it meant less money for them, it meant the other person would have even less. At least it would ensure that they were ahead of somebody in whatever strange game this is that we create. We have this belief that there is not enough to go around. So we had better hoard and we better stay on top. There's not enough money. More importantly, there's not enough love. So I better keep what's mine and keep it close and keep it tight. 1 John tells us countless times, beloved, you are loved completely, fully, without beginning, without end. So stop putting yourself up against others. Stop wearing yourself out trying to be sure you get more attention or more affection than they get. There's enough love in Jesus for us all. So take a deep breath and just be free to love. Be free to turn the spotlight on others, knowing that there's enough light to shine on you too. In Jesus, there's enough. One of my biggest dreams for BCC is that we would be a people who celebrate one another really well. One of my very favorite times in every service is after Martha plays the invitation. I don't think she's here today, so y'all got to tell her that this is my favorite time. After she plays the invitation, several of you shout out, "Yay, Martha!" And some people might say, you know, we're only supposed to say, "Yay, Jesus," in church. Yeah, I get that. But here's what's going on in that moment. Martha steps into this place every week vulnerably and humbly. And she pours out this gift that's hers to share. And sometimes, I don't know if you know it, but she is nervous to play. But she plays for Jesus. And you celebrate her gift. And you celebrate the way it brings us all closer to Christ. And my heart just beams because I love when we celebrate one another well. It's no competition. That we might do more of that. They'll know we are Christians by our love. That is, by the way we honor and celebrate one another. We've got a good news board out there in the foyer. So far, all the things on it I've put up there, Danielle has. You know what I'd love? If you guys just like took over the good news board. And like each week we came in and it was just overflowing with the church celebrating the church. A dream. They'll know we're Christians by our love for one another. Finally, how do we love one another well? Last but not least, by forgiving each other. Often and sincerely. Verse 20, those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they've seen cannot love God whom they've not seen. We cannot love God well and resent another. We just can't. And I told you the thing that makes my heart overflow. This is the thing that breaks my heart. Maybe more than anything as a pastor. It's when I see folks jump in and connect and soak up and enjoy the benefits of life and community, and they're growing and they're serving Jesus together, and then something happens and they get hurt. And that's not the part that hurts me the most. We're humans doing life together. Hurt's gonna happen. What hurts me is what happens 9 out of 10 times after the hurt. That person who was soaking it all up, they just kind of disappear. They walk away. They write off this whole thing, and they write off that person who messed up, leaving no room for Jesus to make something beautiful out of the mess, out of the pain. That's what Jesus is known for. We don't even give him a chance. I had a pastor who once would tell all the people in the new members class when they were just stepping into church, when they were all giddy and excited, saying, "Oh, I've never found a church like this." He'd look at them, he'd say, "Look, we are gonna mess up." He'd say, "If we are close enough to help you, we are close enough to hurt you. Did you get that? He'd say, if you're going to dance with us, it won't be long before someone steps on your toes. How Jesus' people love one another? Not perfectly. That's impossible. But by refusing to ever let resentment win the day, by refusing to step away and write community off when our toes get stepped on, that's what the world does. And that's the easy way out. And that is the best way to never grow through hard things at all. A couple nights ago, I got to take my friends Andy and Pam to dinner to celebrate the gift of God's healing in their lives, and we had a great night together. And around the table, we're talking about the church, naturally, because that's what I do when I go to dinner. And we're talking about their story in church. They've been here a long time, and all the ups and the downs, and what God's done, and times that were hard. And they were talking about some event they went to recently and some people they saw there. And they said, they used to come to our church. And I said, you know, if everyone that I've heard that about in the last 4 years was still here, we would be a mega church. All the people that used to come. And I said, but Andy and Pam, you've seen all that and you're still here. And Pam said, you know, when we joined this church and committed ourselves to it, we actually meant that. She said, we were in, committed for the long haul to help celebrate and bring life to this church, to watch it grow and to watch it thrive, knowing that we'd have to see her through some hard times too. That's part of committing to a relationship with the living, breathing organism. The Jesus way stays in the dance. Leans into forgiveness and grace. Has some hard but honest conversation. And always chooses reconciliation. If we are close enough to help you, we are close enough to hurt you. Not if, but when you get hurt. Don't just shut down. And don't just skip church that Sunday. And don't just disappear. Come closer, like our Jesus did. Name the hurt. Help us grow. And let's all get our shoes all scuffed up, practicing this grace stuff together. Because you see, the world out there, they're not looking for perfect love. They're looking for a place where love messes up really good sometimes because they mess up really good sometimes. And they're looking for a place where folks aren't written off and labeled by their mistakes. They'll know we're Christians. They'll want to follow Jesus with us when we love one another like that. How, church? Love one another. That's the people right here, right now. Love how? Share your gifts among us sacrificially. Celebrate our gifts out loud and freely. And forgive us when we step on your toes genuinely. That's how Jesus' people share life together. That's what will make our community flock to be among us. Because who doesn't want to be loved like that? It's how we've been loved. That we might freely give what we have so freely received. Would you pray with me? Oh, Lord Jesus, we cannot thank you enough for the way you love us. Sacrificially, celebrating the life inside of us, forgiving us 70 times 7 million times, staying in the dance with us. Oh, that we might love one another like that. And in loving one another, that our broken community that's starving for love might see in us a God who's on the move and who loves them too. Let it start right here with the people we're sharing a pew with right now. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.